this one.
Take your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. It's an honor to be here, honor to meet you good people. And I want to go ahead and clear the air on something, all right? I have already been accused of having an accent. I will let y'all in on a little secret. I ain't the one with the accent y'all are. Okay?
Right.
I agree.
That was a joke. That was a joke, so laugh.
We need a translator.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I
can't understand you.
I can't.
Philippians chapter 3, it's my honor to be here. And what a great joy. I got just a simple little thought on my heart tonight. I want to try to answer the question that the pastor's asked me to answer. What has Christ profited me?
I set my Bible down. So, do you see where I set my Bible?
Okay.
Probably right there.
Was right there.
It is Bible. We won't never.
You know, it's a terrible thing when my wife doesn't come.
I think there was a pastor.
Yeah. All right, never mind. Yeah. All right, Tanya. Thank you, Tanya.
Yes, sir.
All right. I was just testing y'all. I really knew.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
I got to meet your pastor in North Carolina, so I done got him figured out, all right? Are you sure you're ready? God, I'm starting off, all right? I'm not stopping until I'm done. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
So Philippians chapter 3, it's an honor to be here. And I'm looking forward to being with you. You pray for me and my family as we endeavor to do the will of God. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Tonight, I tell you what, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God tonight. And I ought to just read the whole chapter. Let's begin reading verse number 1. The Bible said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." I'm not going to study it tonight, but that word confidence means to make friends with. We don't make friends with our flesh.
Come on, brother.
Our flesh is still at enmity with God. And that's a blessing that when you get saved, that there's a fight that shows up. And that's one of the fruits of salvation. That's one of the things that'll give you assurance. Before I got saved, there wasn't no fight. I just did what I wanted to, went where I wanted to, said what I wanted to, wasn't no conviction, wasn't no problem. But when I got saved, there's a fight on the inside. And that's the spirit against the flesh. That's the Bible. I'm not going to labor that. Bible said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things, here we go, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Fathers, we bow in your presence. I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, you know I'm weary in my flesh tonight, tired from traveling, wore out. But Lord, I pray that you'd give me grace and strength tonight to give these precious people in this Bible study what you've laid on my heart. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Help me to say exactly what you want me to say. I pray that you'd encourage somebody. Lord, I know every one of us that are saved, we need revival. So I pray that you do that. And I pray, Lord, those that are lost in our midst that have never been born again, I pray you draw them by your power. I pray you'd convict them. I pray you'd show them, Lord. I can tell them they're lost all day.
Right.
The friends and their families can do it. But, Lord, until you do it, it ain't going to get done.
Exactly.
I pray, Lord, you'd save them by the good grace of God. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. I thought about when the pastor asked me to give the Bible study tonight, my mind went to the scripture where it said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" It won't profit nothing. You'll end up in hell without God.
That's right.
Simple Bible truth. If you're not born again, you're going to die without God and go to hell.
Right.
But I thought about looking at the other side of that. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I thought about reversing it and asking the question, what shall it profit a man if he gain his own soul and lose the whole world?
How about that?
Amen.
How about that?
World, you ever really get serious with serving God, the things of this world will grow strangely dim.
Amen.
Tonight, I want to focus on the three words that we read in our text. He said, "I counted loss for Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." He said, "Those I counted loss for Christ." And I want to, if I had a title, and I guess I do, I want to talk to you tonight on "I Lost It All to Find Everything."
Yes.
And may I expound the scripture, outlining, tell you what I have profited, and preach a message all at the same time.
Amen.
Whilst we have a Bible study.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can do it all at once if you try hard enough. And we'll see what we can get going on here tonight. I lost it all when I found everything. Our study tonight would follow these phrases. He said, "That I may win Christ. That I may know him. That I may apprehend." That phrase, "that I may," found three times in this chapter. And when he uses that terminology, he shows us the humility that's in his heart. He doesn't say that I'm going to know him or that I do know him. He humbly says that I may know him. That tells us it's a privilege to know God.
Amen.
It is a privilege to apprehend what's out before us. And it is a privilege that I may win him. It is a privilege to be a child of God.
Amen.
And I tell you, nothing like being saved. Amen.
Yeah.
And our first prophet tonight of being in Christ will be our first phrase that he said, "That I may win Christ." And that's our prophet right there. After all the Apostle Paul has went through in his life, and he had been saved some 30 years when he made these statements, and that I may win Christ. Paul had been in the deep, he had been beat, he had been stoned, left outside of the city of Lystra for dead. I can only imagine Peter as he's standing over Paul, and they think he's dead, and Peter goes ahead and says, "All right, I'm going to preach his funeral message today." Peter gets up and says, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If he had kept his mouth shut, he'd still be with us." And they thought he was dead. They were taking measurements for the casket. Everybody was crying. And all of a sudden, God touches him and he gets up. And Paul said, "I'm not done with my message. I believe I'll finish preaching what God's put on my heart." And all these things, study the life of the Apostle Paul. Have you ever met somebody when they got saved? When they got really born again, seemed like the whole, world has turned against them.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody hates them, seems like. Half the church crowd can't stand to be around them because they tell the truth.
Go ahead, brother. That's it. Go ahead and say it different.
Every time they get up to preach, somebody's going to get up and walk out.
Oh, yeah.
Paul has been lied on, falsely accused, beaten. His eyes are bad, got a thorn in the flesh. We'll debate maybe later. You can tell me what you think that thorn is. I think there's two things. His eyes, a physical thorn, then that messenger of Satan to buffet him, that was a thorn. And all this, and the Apostle Paul comes down, and of everything, he said, I bear in my body the marks. Those are physical scars that the Apostle Paul had gotten.
Amen.
Just sick, not from being a rebel, not from being a shyster, not from being a charlatan, not from wrongdoing people, not for being a gossip, not for being a busybody, not for being a liar, not for being a thief, but rather for being a Christian. For being a messenger, a preacher, an apostle for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they beat him. Now, most Baptists would have quit right there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not putting up with this. I'm not taking this. You're not going to beat me. Paul makes this statement that I may win Christ. That's what it's all about, ain't it?
Amen.
That's the prize right there. Paul, we know you talked about the crowns. We know you've been to the third heaven. We know you've seen things you couldn't tell us. And then here you're telling us that I may win Christ, and that's him. You went all through all of that just so you'd have Jesus. Not to get saved. Not to stay saved. But rather than our text, more of his presence. More of his touch.
Amen.
More of his person. More of Jesus. So that's the problem. You know, Paul, you're not getting, you don't have a pension? Well, I do, but it's out of this world. You don't have a retirement plan? I do, but it's after I die. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You did all that just for Jesus. I guess somebody could look at the Apostle Paul and said, sorry, Paul, all you get's God. All you get's Jesus. Are y'all getting what I'm trying to tell you tonight?
Amen,
if that is not profit enough of being in Christ, then let's shut our Bibles and quit tonight.
Come on.
If that ain't enough to satisfy your longing soul, then nothing will ever satisfy
you. Amen.
That I may win Christ. He's the prize. He's the reward. God told Abraham, I am thy great and exceeding reward. That's the profit of being in Christ. You got Jesus.
Amen.
Not fame, not fortune, not a platform, not necessarily a pulpit, but we got Jesus. I've had the liquor. I've had the dope, and I've had the parties, and I've been on, and I'm ashamed of every bit of it. And two of my children here tonight, there's things that I was involved in and did before I got born again. I don't want nobody knowing about it. Y'all.
Amen.
Hearing what I'm saying tonight, and when God saved me that night, I was on my way to a party and already started drinking a little bit, and a friend of mine came by the house and invited me to church, and I looked at him and I said, you're crazy, it's December the 31st, it's New Year's Eve, I'm partying the old year out and the new year in, I'm going to the party. And he looked at me and he said, John, we're going to go to church till midnight. I said, who in the world goes to church till midnight? And he said, and we're going to stop about 9 o'clock and the women are cooking. And boy, when he said that, I'd been over at that church before and I'd eat the homecoming cooking. And I don't want to offend nobody, but I know we are above the Mason-Dixon line. And I haven't had too many meals this far north in my life. But our lady, and we had a fine meal tonight with chili and cornbread. And it was good, but them women can cook, man. I'm telling you right now. Now, they're not here, and I really don't want to tell you how to know when you go to a church if the cooking's good or not, but everybody ain't going to be skinny, all right? And I said, you know what? The party don't get started until about 11 o'clock anyways. I think I could go to church for a little while, and I'll go eat. I went up in that place, and I sat down on the back, and that first preacher got up, and he got to preaching against drinking. He got to preaching against partying. dope and foreign. I mean, everything that I'd ever been. I said, somebody has set this up. Somebody has told them that I'm coming and told them all about me. And later on in life, I figured out somebody did set that up. And somebody did tell them what I needed to hear. This God told him what I needed to hear. And so I got under conviction that night. I seen myself dying without God and going to hell. And we went over and we ate. And I was trying to shake conviction off. And I didn't realize that's what I was doing. And I had the keys to my truck in my hand. And I was going to go leave and go to the party. And the pastor so kind and tenderly invited me to stay. And I did. And a long story short, that night about midnight, I called on God. And I asked him to save me. And I repented of my sins. And God reached further down than I could reach up. And it put peace in my heart. He did something for me the parties never did. He gave me something my liquor never did. He gave me something my world never did. He gave me a deep settled peace in my heart. And I was able to go home that night. Didn't have to worry about getting pulled over and getting a DUI. I didn't have to worry about going to hell anymore. I tell you, God reached out and saved my soul by the good grace of God.
Hallelujah.
And I'll never forget it as long as I live. Yes, I went home that night and I said, Mother, she looked at me and she said, you're drunk again. See, I had the loudest truck in town. Had a 1989 Chevrolet with a 350 motor in it, 8-cylinder. And I took it up there and I bought me some glass packs. Anybody know what glass packs are? Amen. Thank God. Well, I told the guy, I said, you put them on there, but put them on backwards. And we put them on backwards. And then I got them real good and hot and shot cold water up in there and busted the glass so I could get the sound out of my mufflers that I wanted to get. And So I was so loud I couldn't sneak home. Ain't no one. I was just like my son, his big old Cummins diesel with a 5-inch straight pipe on it. You can hear him coming 14 miles off, which that is good. Amen. And so that night I didn't have to ride by and see if Mama was asleep or awake. I just pulled up in the driveway, and Mother just sit up on the couch when I walked in the house, and she said, John, you drunk again? I said, no, Mama. I got saved tonight, and I just poured it all out. She raised up on the couch and said, you sure you ain't drunk? Yeah, brother, and I ain't been the same since. Don't want to be the same. And brother, what did I get out of all that? We can talk about the peace and the redemption and the justification. I tell you what I got that blesses me more than anything. I got Jesus. Amen. I got God. I got Jesus living on the inside. And blessed be the name of God. That's enough. I lost it all to find everything tonight. We got God. We got Jesus living on the inside. Now, there will be some of you sitting here tonight. I always like to say this. There will be some of you sitting here tonight. Well, I didn't pour my beer out. You didn't have no liquor to pour out. You never did drugs. You never ran with that crowd.
Oh,
you were a little boy or a little girl raised up in a good church with sound doctrine, and one day you realized you was lost and going to hell, and you called on God, and God saved you just as good as He did me.
Sure.
How many people in the building do we have like that? You've never drank and never doped and never partied, but you got saved. How many of us we got in here? Several hands. You've never been out there in the world. Well, bless the Lord, you know how much I like your testimony better than I do mine. I like yours so good. I want all three of my children to have one just like you. You ain't got to be a doper. You ain't got to be a drunkard. Now, you do have to realize you're just as wicked as one. Amen. Just as lost as one. Just as black-hearted as Jeffrey Dahmer and Hitler, Mussolini. Just as lost as they are. But you ain't got to go down the road they do. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus will lead you to Calvary. And you can repent and believe the gospel and be born again.
Hallelujah. That's right.
We got Jesus, that I may win Christ. That's profit enough, ain't it? If he never done anything else for me, other than just save me. Other than just save me. How can you stand with confidence and say I'm saved? I'll ask, how can you not stand with confidence and say you're saved? Amen? Because it's confident when God saves you, he gives you peace and gives you assurance. And I'll elaborate on that more through the week, amen. Maybe the good Lord's will, that I may win Christ. That's the prize. That's the group. But then number two tonight. He said in our chapter, verse number 10, that I may know him. Oh, what a privilege it is to know God. Yes. Not just to win him, not just to have him as our prize. And by the way, it's not a lot of, and that's what I really don't like about this contemporary music.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And this contemporary preaching.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd rather hear a fat baby burp.
Yes, sir.
As I would contemporary music or contemporary singing. Ray Bolts ain't never done nothing for me. I'm against him. They got good lyrics and good sometimes doctrine, but they're sodomites. I'm not singing their songs. You sing a sodomite song all you want to. I'm not getting with you. Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Did I just hit a stump?
Come on.
Do I need to back up and plow this thing over? Contemporary music, but if you're contemporary and you got a contemporary singing, a contemporary preaching in a contemporary church, you're one step away from being an NIV church.
Go ahead, come on. Right. Wow. Say it, brother.
Come back tomorrow night, I'll preach on all this again.
That's right. God help us.
I don't know where I was going with that, but I just felt like I need to say it.
Yeah, glad you did.
That I may know him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's that? What I don't like about this contemporary crowd is they want to pull God down on our level.
Right.
He is not on our level. He's holy. He's sovereign. He's the ruling, reigning monarch of this universe. And we don't. And they treat. They want to talk about God and treat God like he's some kind of dog on a leash. I'll just be honest with you, I'm the dog on the leash.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Amen. Amen. That I may win Christ, but then that I may know him. What an excellent privilege to know him. I've already got ahead of myself, but let me give you my thoughts. There's a saving knowledge of God. Now that's a prophet. You show me a man, or you show me a woman that knows they're saved, that knows they have been forgiven. How can I know I'm saved? Repentance and faith.
Amen.
How do you know you're saved? The Bible says I'm saved.
Amen.
What more could you ask for?
That's right.
A saving knowledge of Jesus. Now that's a prophet.
Right.
Amen. You show me somebody that knows they're saved, I'll show you somebody can do something for God.
Amen.
Yes.
I wouldn't go to labor tonight. We talked about it in the last revival meeting we were in down at the Living Waters Baptist Church. People run around in doubt. Doubt. God's not in that. God's not in this doubting business.
Amen.
I mean, and you don't live a life of doubt. Can saved people doubt their salvation? Now, if you disagree, we'll hash it out after church. Absolutely. Yeah. Saved folk doubt their salvation. It's not habitual. Shouldn't be habitual. Young lady went to the pastor one day and said, "Pastor, tell me. I'm struggling with doubt. Help me out." She said, "The only time I have peace and the only time I have assurance is when I'm reading my Bible." The only time I've got peace is when I'm praying. The only time I got a chance is when my music is right in my life.
Amen.
She said, "I listen to wrong kind of music. My assurance just seems like it grows wings and flies off." She said, I have assurance when I'm faithful to church. That wise pastor looked at her and said, "Well, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd read my Bible every day. I'd pray every day. I'd go to church every time the doors are open."
That's right.
Amen or not?
Amen.
Exactly right.
Yes, sir. Bro.
You can know you say.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God deliver us from doubt. Amen. Maybe later on. It's a saving knowledge. You can know. Amen. You can know your name's written down in heaven. "These things have I written unto you that you may know." 1 John, a whole book, 5 powerful chapters of doctrinal truth. Amen. To help us to know that we're saved by grace and grace alone. The saving, it's wonderful to know you're saved, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
It is. All I've seen, like the songwriter, I've seen the lowest sin sick soul. I've seen them come in a service, and the gospel, the cross, the blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the judgment of God, a good, clear presentation of the gospel be preached. And I've seen God prick their hearts. God deal with them. Whether they got saved on the altar during the service or at home after the service. I've watched God give them that peace. That peace that changed their countenance.
Yeah, that's right.
That changed their attitude.
That's right.
Changed their spirit.
Amen.
Changed their heart. God changed them. That I may know in a saving knowledge. Wonderful to know you saved. There may be somebody here today, you're struggling with whether you're saved or not. You get in the Bible. You get in the Bible and you seek God. He's not going to lead you along like a mule that won't plow. And you got to stick a carrot on a stick out in front of him to get him to plow, or light a fire under his belly and get the mule to move on. Amen. God speaks. Amen. And when God speaks, he speaks with assurance. You're in here tonight and you're lost. When he speaks, you'll have assurance of your damnation. You'll know where you're going when you die. God ain't going to let you die and go to hell in the dark. He's going to shine the light of his gospel in on your soul. And you'll die sinning against the truth of God's ways of being saved. And then if you're saved, it won't be assurance of your damnation. It'll be assurance of your salvation.
Amen.
That's a prophet right there.
That's right.
To know that I'm his and he's mine. But not only a saving knowledge of him. And these to me are all prophets. I hope it's making sense. It's a servant's knowledge of him. But brother, he said chapter 2, verse number 7, talking of Jesus, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. A servant's knowledge. Christ, our example. The best example of a servant is Jesus. Humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. That's Christ. It's hard for us to think of him as a servant, isn't it? I want to keep him in my heart. On the throne. I want to keep him in my mind and in my imagination, right exactly where he is. Right there, seated on the right hand of the Father, the blood having been applied to the mercy seat. Ever living to make intercession for me and you, to know that Jesus is on his throne praying for us.
Amen.
That's amazing to me, isn't it?
Yeah.
But to know that he's a servant. Brother, he came. In the form of a servant. Left all that glory. Every bit of it. Left every bit of it behind. I mean, I've never been to heaven. I'm going. I've heard about it. I've studied about it. I'm looking forward to it. But the half hadn't been told. It hadn't entered into our heart what we got waiting on us. Our imagination could not comprehend the glories that await us. And one day God the Father looked over at God the Son and said, it's time.
Amen.
And the old story was told just like this. God the Son stood up, took off his royal robe, took off his royal crown, left it on his throne. God the Father shrunk him up in the size of a seed, placed him on a small cloud, took him all the way down to earth over there around Jerusalem. Young lady by the name of Mary that said, be it unto me according to thy word, placed that seed in her womb, a young virgin, having never known a man, but said yes to God. That angel said, the power of the highest is going to come upon thee and overshadow thee. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. She said, yes. If that's what you want for me, then come on. If that's what you got for me, let me have it. Said yes. And for 9 months, she carried him, and then one day she gave birth to him so he could one day give birth to her.
Amen.
And he lived 33 and a half years of sinless, sinless, perfect life.
How about that?
And as he was here, he served his disciples. One instance in my mind is when they were in that upper room and they'd eaten. When they got done eating, Jesus girded himself and got a towel and said, "I'm going to wash your feet." Peter said, "Not me." I love that story, don't you? Peter said, "You ain't washing my feet." Well, if I don't, you ain't going to have no part. Oh, just wash it all, Lord. I can just pour the whole basin on me. Wash me. Help me be clean ever with. And I could see him washing John's feet. I could see him washing Peter's feet. James, Matthew, Luke, all of them. But Judas, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, knelt down and washed the feet of the betrayer. Washed the feet of a man he knew was going to stab him in the back. Washed the feet of a man he knew was going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. But he washed him in. A servant. Humble. See, that's a subject that's not in our Baptist churches too often, is humility. Humility is not a piece of good advice. It is not a good suggestion. It's a commandment. Brings us to our first thought. He made himself of no reputation. This is the serving knowledge of Christ. That's a prophet. You want to know how to serve? Just look at him. He made himself of no reputation. I remember when we first got started back in the mid-90s. Oh, you had the guys who wanted to be the most glorious preacher. And then you had guys, well, you know, if I'm going to be known, I'm going to be known as the most controversial preacher. And them guys ended up being the most confused preachers. Amen. We shouldn't seek to be the most controversial or the sweetest preacher or the best at this and the best at that. We're to seek no reputation.
That's right.
And as full of pride as we are, that's hard to do sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Made himself of no reputation. Humility. Boy, that'll take you a long way in life. That'll get you places with God. Pride won't help you out one bit.
That's right. Amen.
He humbled himself. Write this down in the flyleaf of your Bible somewhere. It's the most humble man that ever walked on planet Earth is the one who created it.
Amen.
The most humble human being, God, in the flesh.
Amen.
That was ever crucified, made the tree he was crucified to. He gave man the knowledge to make the nails and the hammer that were driven through his hands and feet. And there he is submitting to this death of the cross. Why? For me? For you? Humility. You remember in the Gospels when Jesus called out a young lad? Said you be, what was the word, converted? Become as one of these little children, you cannot be converted. We don't know that. You study your Bible. If you find me wrong, I want to get it right. But I studied it out. We don't know if that young child, we don't know its name. He pulls that young child right there in the midst of those disciples. Mm-hmm. Says, "Here's your example."
Yeah.
Except you humble yourself and become as little children. That's the phrase I'm looking for. And I can only imagine one of the disciples looking over at him saying, "Really? Where'd you go to Bible college at?"
I had, brother.
Right. Hey, and that young child said, "Well, I didn't." "Well, who's your pastor?" Come on now. Well, do you know anything about the first five books of the Bible? Are you a Pharisee? Are you a Sadducee? Are you going to grow up and be a scribe? What's your dreams? What's your hopes? A little child just sit there and shrug his shoulders. What gives you the right to be here and be our example? And the only answer that child could have. You see that man right there?
Yeah, that's good.
He put me right here.
Yeah, praise God.
And that's the only right I've got to be anywhere. Is because of Jesus.
God help us.
Put me here.
That's right. Amen.
Made himself of no reputation. That's the humility. That's the example. Well, and I've been in this thing 28 years now. And I'm going to, don't you dare pray, God, humble me.
Go ahead, bro.
Don't you even think about praying that about me. And I won't pray it on you. I'm going to pray God give us wisdom to humble ourselves.
That's right. Amen. That's right. It's good, brother.
Because when he does it, buddy.
Yeah.
Anybody in here ever been to the woodshed with your daddy before? I hope you whip your children up here. You need to. If you don't, you need to get right with God and start whipping them. Amen?
That's right. Preaching,
brother. He'll humble you. God, give us wisdom to humble ourselves. That's the serving knowledge without any reputation. But then, verse number 15, read what your Bible says in chapter number 2. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. A servant's going to be without reputation. A servant's going to be without rebuke. He said blameless. That's one of the qualifications of a bishop, is to be blameless. Correct?
Yes.
Do you know that you could take every one of the qualifications of a pastor, and you can find a Bible character to put with them? And I have ascribed our dear brother from days of old, Joseph, to that one on being blameless.
That's good.
Well, he was falsely accused. Yes, he was. Potiphar's wife accused him of making advances on her and even lied to her husband about it and got him put in jail. How in the world could you go through something like that? I'll tell you how you can go through something like that. When you're accused, just make sure that accusation is false.
That's right.
That's
good.
That's right.
Say what you want to about me. It'll hurt my feelings. It'll tear me up. But if I can lay my head on my pillow at night and know you're a liar, then I say glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
I hate the accusation came, but I say, bless the Lord. Blameless.
Amen,
here it is. Money gets missing at the church.
Uh-oh.
You'd be the last one they think of. That's blameless. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Something get tore up. You'd be the last one to be accused of it. That's blameless. Not perfect. Not sinless perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wish that crowd was right, but they're not.
Yeah.
Without rebuke. That's how we ought to be. As servants of our Lord, we ought to live without rebuke. But then, chapter number 2, verse number 30, talking about Epaphroditus. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. To supply your lack of service toward me. A real servant has no reputation, has no rebuke. And a real servant has no regard for their own life. Whatever you want me to do. It's what I told him the night I surrendered my life and submitted my life to the call of God to preach. I told the Lord three things. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And I'll say whatever you want me to say when I get there. And God said, preach.
Amen.
It's not my life anymore.
Right, brother. Right.
Not at all. Abraham and Isaac.
That's right.
On the way up Mount Moriah. Amen. Abraham's got a lot going through his mind. He knows by faith, he said, I'm the lad, go yonder, we're coming back. So by faith, he knew, even if he slit Isaac's throat, even if he did offer him a burnt sacrifice, that God was going to raise him up out of the ash heap. Because God made a promise, and God's not a liar. So Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, even with his own body and even with his own son after the fact. And there he goes, and Abraham had to die before Isaac ever thought about getting on the altar. Abraham had to die to his feelings. If we serve God based on our feelings,
yeah,
I wouldn't have made it 2 weeks.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen or not?
Yes, sir.
That's not a halo around your head. That's where your horns just grow together.
That's right.
Sometime or another, you're going to want to quit.
Yep.
You're going to look at your congregation and say, what's the use? You're going to look at your Sunday school class and say, ain't nobody getting nothing out of this. What's the use? You're going to look at your children and say, what's the use in homeschooling these youngins? You're going to maybe look at your wife or your husband and say, what in the world's the use? I'm tired of it. We get weary and well doing it. We get beat down. We've got to die to those feelings.
Nice.
You got to die to the feeling like quitting.
Yes.
You got to die to the feeling that would want you to compromise.
Yes.
You got to die to the feeling that wants to do it any other way than the way God wants it done. God's a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
Divine order.
That's right.
He's got guidelines for order in the church and order in the home.
Amen.
God's got a way he wants things done. And we've got to die to the way we want things done. And live to the way God wants things done.
Lord.
I do not know, Brother Pastor John knows our dearly departed brother, Brother Sammy Allen, a hero of mine.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Prayed at least 3 hours every day of his life. No telling how many times he read through the Bible. He wasn't egotistical or full of pride about it. He was an example to us. And his wife's got the greatest testimony that I think I've ever heard. Brother Sammy had the camp meeting at the Faith Baptist Camp in Resaca 3 times a year. Him and those people would lay, and that's a lot of work, beloved.
Right.
We do it once a year. Could you imagine doing it 3 times a year?
Right,
Sister Morgan, a lot of work, a lot of food, a lot of money. God always supplied the needs. Sister Jimmy Lou Allen said this. She said, I gave up my dreams a long time ago. I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure my husband's dreams come true.
Oh, glory to God.
Did you hear that? Joseph is in jail. Joseph has been falsely accused. Joseph helps a fella out with a dream he had. He says, when you get in front of Pharaoh, don't forget me. Took him 2 years to remember. Then he finally remembered. Neighbor, if you'll help somebody else with their dreams, God's going to send somebody along to help you out with yours.
Amen.
This is, ain't this just wonderful prophet? The
yes,
benefits
sir.
Of serving God. So serving him. I think I've got it wrote down. In my Bible, let me see if I got it in here. I don't think I do. What's that? I'm gonna do it anyways, whether you want me to or not. What's that verse in Corinthians, Mama? 2 Corinthians 6, 5:17. No, not 5:17. I'm gonna find a verse. I want y'all to hear this verse. What is that? I think it's 6, ain't it? My wife's got it. 5:15. And that he died for all. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
That's my wife's favorite verse.
Oh, amen. Good.
I got her to sign my Bible one day. We get preachers to sign our Bibles. I got a preacher's wife to sign my Bible.
Yeah.
She put that verse down. She wrote beside it. She wrote right beside it, "There's no other life I'd rather live than to live it for him."
Amen.
Good. Powerful words, neighbor. A serving. You can't have any regard for your own life. You just got to give it all to Jesus. No regard. But then there's the sacrifice and knowledge of him. He uses the word lost three times. I lost it all to find everything.
Amen.
What did we really lose?
Amen.
When we repented and believed the gospel and God saved us, what did we lose? The list Paul gives here, he said, "I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees." He talks about his own righteousness. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. Touch of the law of Pharisee concerning the zeal persecuting church. I mean, Paul had the first five books of the Bible memorized, if I'm studying right. That's a lot of memorizing. I can't remember how many languages Paul could speak fluently. I mean, he was a genius. Smart man. Paul at one time was the biggest minister that Satan had ever had. He shut down churches. He had Christians killed. He consented unto the death of Stephen. They tell me that group of Pharisees back in those days, they had a voting system. And they'd carry a white pebble and a black pebble. You pulled a white pebble out, it meant let them live. You pulled a black pebble out, it meant kill them, take their lives. I promise you that black pebble was worn out in Paul's purse. The white pebble never got pulled out. Thought he was doing God's business one day. One day God met him on the road to Damascus. Told the devil, "You've had him long enough, I'm coming." God saved him by his wonderful grace. And now he that used to persecute the church is now preaching and building up the things which he once destroyed. Now, Paul, what did you really lose? The list. Popularity with the religious crowd, the money, the fame, the fortune, name it, the friends, name all of it. We can put it in the same classification that the Apostle Paul did. He said, "I count it but dung." Amen. Everything I was, everything that I hoped to be, everything that I wanted to be, when I met God, amen, I look back on it and I count it as dung. I don't have to elaborate on what dung is, do I? Okay. Just waste. Good for nothing. We didn't lose. We gained.
Amen.
Sacrifice and knowledge. And boy, the stories, but I won't labor. There's the chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There's the sustaining knowledge. The power of his resurrection. Resurrection power is not just power to get up.
Mm-hmm.
It's power to get up and stay up. Amen. Sustaining knowledge. How that God keeps us. Well, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
I'm only 28 years into this thing. Only how many years you been serving the Lord now, brother? John?
About 40 years.
That's a long time. Not compared to eternity, but down here amongst us, that's a good while.
Right.
We don't want to get proud about how long we've been serving God, but there's something to be said about it.
Right, brother. Right, brother.
that you sustain, that you stay. I want to use a word that some have perverted, but you have not to stay saved, but in the service of God, you have persevered.
Uh-huh.
I like what Peter had to say in John 6, when people was turning around and walking away from Jesus, he said, "To whom shall we go?"
Amen.
Where are we going to go? We ain't got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
It's been an hour. Can you believe I've been up here almost an hour?
Ain't nobody moving.
Amen. And I'm going to. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. I slept about 2 hours last night. That's okay. Don't feel sorry for me. We'll rest during the millennial reign. And I hope ain't nobody in here don't think we're in the millennial right now. I'll preach to you Saturday morning. You just come on back. All right? Sustaining knowledge of him, the suffering and the fellowship of his sufferings. Suffering knowledge of him. That I may know him and the fellowship not of my sufferings, but of his sufferings. I hope to get to elaborate on this more. I seen this recently. Sometimes we have a wrong view of Calvary. We look at it wrong. I'll prove it. You don't have to answer this out loud. But how many of you have ever really got to thinking about the nails in his hands and cried? Or the flesh beating off his back and he cried? Or the spit running off his face from those Roman soldiers where they cleared their throat of the crown of thorns? And you cried. Beaten beyond recognition. And you wept. I have.
Come on.
But on the way to the cross, I wish I'd have seen this 25 years ago. On the way to the cross, the only thing that caught Jesus' attention was those daughters of Jerusalem. And he stopped long enough to say, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children." Christ didn't die on the cross so we could pity him. He didn't die on the cross so we'd feel sorry for him.
That's good.
He didn't die on the cross to, and I'm not against emotions, but if that's all you ever have is an emotional stir toward Christ and the cross, then you're empty at your best.
That's good.
May I say this? Say it loud enough to where you can hear it. It's not me pitying him. It's him pitying me. That's what that scene's about. That's what that thing's about. It wasn't designed so I could go by and get tore up and shed a tear every once in a while. And I'm thankful that he suffered. And I'm going to say this in a proper way, not to belittle his sufferings. And I rejoice in him and I glory in him. But God died on the cross because he pitied us.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good.
And he said, "Weep not for yourselves, but weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children." Have you ever, sinner friend, have you ever wept over the repulsively lost condition of your soul?
Come on.
Amen.
That's good.
You need to see yourself like God sees you. Until you do, you'll be eternally damned and doomed for hell. When God lets you see what he sees, not just as a sinner, every one of us. Let me see what my wife sees as a husband. Let me see what my children see as a dad. Let me see what my parents see as a child. Let me see what my pastor sees as a church member. Let me look at myself through everybody else's eyes, but especially God's. Lord, if you want to have a rough night tonight, go home. Ask God to let you see yourself through his eyes.
Uh-oh.
And then I ask him to give you grace to do something about everything you see.
Amen.
That's a little bit sidetracked there, but that's okay.
Yes, sir. Very.
That's that seeing him, the suffering. That's a benefit to really get to see Jesus.
Amen.
And then lastly tonight, and I'm done. Verse number 12, the Bible said, that I may apprehend. If that I may apprehend. That word apprehend means to lay a hold of. A reaching forth. Attaining. I got. God didn't just save us to sit on a church pew. God certainly didn't save us to sit on a church pew and look pretty. Timothy, man, you'd be disqualified on that one, son. Amen. You would too, brother. Amen. I don't even know you, but you would too. Some of us are so ugly, we'd have to hang a pork chop around our necks to get the dog to play with us. True. Yeah, I mean, I was so ugly when I was born, the doctor slapped my mama.
Oh, man.
I got to get out of the pulpit because there ain't no telling what I'm fixing to say. But really, God saved us for more. We are His trophies.
Amen.
That's right.
Of the grace of God. But it's more than just being a trophy. It's a tool that God could use. That God could get somebody else the gospel.
Amen.
What do you really want to be? It's a Christian. That's what we're to strive to be. In the text, I won't read it, but we're to apprehend the goal line. We're to finish right. We're to apprehend the God man. How many of you have ever heard that old song, Old to Be Like Him?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one in years. Old to Be Like Him. We're influenced, we're inspired by people, and I guess rightly so. When's the last, I go hear preachers, boy, if I could preach like him. I hear somebody pray, boy, if I could pray like him. You musicians, you hear somebody pick a guitar, play an instrument, if I can do it like them. Don't make the sad mistake, ladies and gentlemen, of comparing yourselves among yourselves.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
You don't compare yourself as a wife to my wife or my wife to you, ma'am. I'm not going to compare myself to you as a husband or a preacher. That produces a competitiveness. That provokes to envy and jealousy when we're supposed to be provoking to good works. So who are we to be like? We're to be like Christ. God, help me to be just like you. Help me to be a Christian in every true sense of the word. Help me to be like you in my sight. When people see me, they'll see right through me and they'll see Jesus. Lord, help me to be like you in my speech. Help me to talk like you. Lord, help me to think like you. Help me to walk like you. Help me to be separated like you. I know my sacrifice would never have the results yours did, but God, help me to sacrifice. God, help me not to be the kind of person you have to take things away from me. Help me to be the kind of person that when they need to hit the road, God, I gladly get rid of them. Help me to be a Christian. Help me to walk in your footsteps. Help me to be like Simon of Cyrene when they compelled him to bear the cross of Christ. And when he got up under that load, it made it heavier on Jesus. Help me to walk right in your footsteps, your bloody footsteps. Lord, even when you lead me somewhere I don't want to go, God, help me to do it. We ain't always going to like everything the Lord tells us to do. Sometimes he's going to have some hard sayings.
Amen.
For us. We better learn to sacrifice. Be like the God man. chapter 3, verse 15, he uses the word perfect. That's growth. It's not sinless perfection. That's maturity. God, help me to apprehend some growth in my life.
Amen.
I know. I want to be a better preacher tonight than I was the last time you heard me.
That's good,
brother. Amen. I want to grow and mature. Mature in my spirit. Mature in my Bible knowledge. I will stand in this pulpit tonight and confess to you that I don't know everything in this Bible.
Right.
Nobody in this building does.
That's right.
Oh, that's for sure.
If you do, start writing a commentary right now. Leave your wonderful wisdom behind for all of us to read after you. Amen. God, help me to grow. We need to grow, don't we?
Right, brother.
We need to grow.
Yes, sir.
But then, lastly, and I'm done. Chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible said, "Who shall change our vile body?" Apprehending that glorious body. One day, we're going to lay this robe of flesh down. One day, we'll have confessed our last sin. That's what one of the things I'm looking forward to heaven is that I won't have to confess no more sin.
Yeah.
Bible says if you say you ain't got no sin, you're a liar.
That's right.
Every day.
That's right.
Every day since I've been saved. Every day. I've had to ask God to forgive me for something.
Amen.
A bad attitude. Smart aleck mouth.
Uh-oh.
A lack of prayer.
Uh-oh.
A lack of Bible reading. Lord, I know you told me to witness to that person, and I didn't. And God, I had a good excuse. I didn't have no tracks. I'm sorry, Lord, for using excuses.
Yeah.
Lord, you spoke to me about testifying at church, and I didn't do it. Lord, you told me to preach one thing and I preached another thing, and I'm sorry, Lord.
Right.
On and on and on. Yes. You know, we use the word sin, everybody automatically thinks of adultery and drinking and porn. If you've got that, get right with God.
Right.
Get right with God. Quit that mess.
That's right.
The pride.
Uh-oh.
The envy.
Come on.
The jealousy.
Uh-oh.
The malice.
Come on.
The backbiting.
Come on.
The gossip.
Uh-oh.
The discord.
Yeah.
One day, I'll have laid that part of my prayer life down. Never to pick it back up again. Sometimes I feel horrible in my heart. And I plumb ashamed. And I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I feel like I've let you down. Lord, I failed you so many times. Lord, I'm sorry. Every time God forgives me.
Hallelujah.
Every time. The hardest person is. Paul's talking about, I'm trying to quit, but Paul in our chapter tonight talks about forgetting those things that are behind.
Come on.
I feel like I need to say this tonight. There's probably somebody in here tonight. You're letting something that happened in the past drag you down.
Come on.
You may have messed up big time. This is how we say it in North Carolina. You messed up royally. That's a raw mess you done messed. It's bad. I'll never forget. I preached in this church 2 weeks ago. Or no, this past Sunday. It was in 1999, I believe it was. I preached under a tent. And I had a message on hell, and I had a message on Ruth. And I went in there, and I really prayed, seeking the Lord's face, and I took the text out of Ruth, and as soon as I announced the text, I knew I was wrong. I was too full of pride to stop, to go over to Luke 16 and preach where God wanted me to.
Right, brother.
Too full of pride to do
all
it.
All the tears.
I got to the room that night, and I prayed. I asked God for hours to forgive me. I couldn't get no peace about that thing. And then the next day, I asked him to forgive me again. that I know at least two and a half years, every day of my life, I asked God to forgive me for that. God let me do that to teach me a valuable lesson.
Oh, yeah.
One day he spoke to me. He said, would you like to know when I forgave you for that? I said, yes, Lord, because I'm struggling with it. He said, I forgave you the first time you asked me, and I quit asking.
That's right.
It ain't the forgiveness that we get from God that's holding us back. It's that forgiveness of us forgiving ourselves.
Come
on. Uh-huh. That's a serious thing, ain't it?
That's where it is.
Forgiving. Forget me. Go on. Repent. Get right with God. Apologize to whoever you need to apologize. And by the way, an apology that is not accompanied with repentance. Everybody on planet Earth quoting themselves. I want to quote myself tonight. An apology that is not accompanied with repentance is vain, fake, and empty.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. And we've all apologized and didn't mean it.
Uh-oh. Uh-huh. Lord help.
One day, that part of our prayer life, you'll never have to go to your wife and apologize again. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
See, I hope you took my advice, young Timothy. He told me tonight that he got a ring on that girl's finger. I told him he better reel that fish in. She's so far out of his league, he better.
Amen.
She better. They asked me how I got my wife. I called her in a weak moment, buddy. What do you think?
That's it, right?
Amen.
Oh, that's funny.
I told him, I said, you better get on both your knees when you ask that girl to marry you. He said, why is that? I said, you're going to be on both of them the rest of your life anyway. That's funny, and you know it is, amen.
Once I write hilarious.
But once, the joking's aside, if you're real, you'll be going to your husband and you'll be going to your wife. And it'll be more than you want to admit, and you'll be going, you know what, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, come on, brother.
Right.
Times I've went to pray and I've been begging God, oh Lord, send the power just now. Fill us everyone. God, we need revival. Lord, I'm heading over here to preach and I need direction. Lord, would you fill me? Lord, would you anoint me? And he'll let me pray for a while sometimes. But I think, boy, and all of a sudden God will speak to me. You know I ain't listening to you.
That's right.
You're wasting your time.
Go ahead, bro.
You need to go get something right with your wife and children.
Oh, come on. Come on.
That's a reality.
It's why am I preaching so long? And why am I saying all this? It must be the leadership of God.
We need it. God's in it.
And I get down. I go, all right, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said this. Shouldn't have, whatever. You know. And boy, the big one to swallow is when you have to apologize to your children.
Yeah, that's right. Good brother.
Yeah. Serious thing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Daddy was wrong. Been a few times in my life when one of the kids got tattletailed on and I didn't even think or whatever, and I just grab them up and whoop them real good. And I have whooped the wrong youngin' for the wrong crime before. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't feel bad about it a bit. And I always told them when that happened, I apologized to them. But then I'd look at them and say, you needed that for something. I don't know what it was.
They got away with
it. But, you know, that's coming to an end. Father, I love you. I bless you. I joked around more tonight than I wanted to, but Lord, I believe you helped your people.
Yes, sir.
I really do. I believe you helped somebody tonight.
Yes.
I believe you touched some hearts. God, I pray for the breath of God to be on this place. I pray, Lord, there'd be a good unified spirit. I pray over every man
God, give him wisdom and liberty and leadership to lead his home. Be the priest of the home like he ought to be, like we ought to be. The leaders of our home like we ought to be. And I pray you touch the women. Lord, as the weaker vessels, follow and submit. Help us as husbands and wives to love one another. God, help us as brethren to love one another. You said let brotherly love continue. Lord, if there's somebody need to go to somebody, and I'm thoroughly convinced they do, make things right tonight. I pray they wouldn't wait till tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I pray they wouldn't wait till they get home and have to turn around and come back. Yes. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name they'd get it right tonight. I'd love to see a revival. Lord, I've never, tonight's my first time at the pulpit in this state of New York, and I'd love to see revival come to this town, yes. This church, yes. These people. God, I pray that there'd be a unified spirit that we can glorify in Jesus' holy name. Those that are lost among us, you said your goodness lead to things of repentance. And I pray your goodness and lead men, women, boys, and girls to repentance tonight.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.